Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. I'm Hadi, Mr. Broussard. If you're feeling a little excited about the events that are going to take place today.
Ooh, excited about the events. Okay. And I am Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black. What you excited for, Hadi?
So yeah, I think we have some plans on our agenda for
today. We do.
We're gonna go on a bike ride. So I was actually telling Liz, I was telling her that I want to get the electric bikes. Right. And she was like very anti that, of course. But you know, I want to try that. They have like these new bikes that are like the city bikes that you see like in all the cities.
Right.
But they're electric. So just like the electric scooters, they have electric bikes now. And I think it's called like, I don't need to advertise for them.
You really don't need to advertise for them.
They need to advertise for
them. They got electric bikes. I think the electric bike is cool. I'm very like, let's burn some calories. Let's make this, you know, some movement. But, you know, we'll see what bikes we end up with.
Right. That's very true. I'm excited though.
I'm excited too. I've been doing generally a lot of working out. I'm almost at 31 miles for April of running, not biking, of running. I'm part of on the Nike TRC, the Nike Run app. They have all these running challenges. And so it's kind of cool because I'm like, every time I run, my miles go up, and now I'm almost at 31. I'm like, oh, I've never done this before.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I saw one of my acquaintance, you know, let's not use that word friendlessly, but she basically was on a journey to, I think, 150 miles in a month.
Go ahead, sis.
And it's like a charity event that she's trying to raise money for this organization because of like all of the COVID-19 stuff. So I was like, wow, that's incredible.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, she's a runner for real. That's like 5 miles a day.
I'm glad that you were able to do that breakdown so quickly.
You know I'm the math teacher.
Right.
But I've been very productive.
Yes.
I know that's not everybody's ministry right now, but that's what's been helping me. I've updated my LinkedIn page. You know, I haven't done that since 2014.
I'm so proud of you. I feel like I've been telling you since 2014.
You didn't even know me. You were sending me telekinetic messages. Yeah, if you haven't updated your LinkedIn page, go ahead and do it, especially if you're an educator, because I think that oftentimes, like, we think that, like, LinkedIn pages and, like, a really nice professional resume are just saved for people that are working in business or, like, anything that's outside of the school. Mm-hmm. At least that's, like, the energy that I get from the educators that, like, I know. But go ahead and edit your resume, edit your LinkedIn page. Shout out to Sydney because he sent me this really dope template for my resume. My resume is popping off. Y'all want to see it, just, you know, let me know. And shout out to Jahada, my mom, I guess, because they helped me edit it for an hour.
No, but I do think...
And my mom.
Right. And mom's was hilarious that whole time. But I must say that, educators need to take advantage of LinkedIn because you can't even imagine the amount of people who have reached, recruiters specifically, who reached out to me by way of LinkedIn and like gotten opportunities in New York and Philadelphia and even in California, like people trying to get me to come move back to Cali to be a teacher.
Ooh.
And so like, don't sleep on LinkedIn. Like that's the moral.
Educators, don't sleep on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Let's do this together. So those are our updates. We recorded with a guest the other day and it was a very, very phenomenal experience to hold this conversation with this amazing educator. She is a friend of mine by way of another friend. So shout out to Leannie for introducing me and this guest some moons ago. You're going to hear her bio, right? It's really in depth, but this woman went viral with her class,
viral.
Okay, with her third grade class. Like, I personally, I don't know about y'all, but I've never been one degree of separation from someone who's went viral. So I'm really excited. And she's actually, like, our first formal guest.
Yeah.
So, nonetheless, I hope you guys are also excited. And without further ado, let's get to it. Our guest today is from Alpharetta, Georgia. She is a second year third grade teacher at Sun Valley Elementary School located in Birmingham, Alabama. She is a proud graduate of Xavier University of Louisiana, where she studied psychology with an English minor, receiving honors in both. Okay.
Yes.
She was honored to serve her university as the 80th Miss Xavier University of Louisiana, where she was featured in Ebony Magazine as a top 10 HBCU campus queen. In her spare time, she likes to laugh, travel, volunteer, play tennis and the violin, read, and harmonize with Beyonce. That one I'm questioning, but we'll see. She is a lover of life and people, and she has a passion to inspire the next generation of great minds by educating and empowering. Through her participation in Teach for America, she has already taken a large step towards her life's mission to be a servant in the classroom. Our guest is known to her students as Miss Merlette, but you might know her as the Old Town Road teacher. Just last year on April 30th, 2019, she and her third grade class created a remix to Lil Nas X's Old Town Road to combat some test anxiety. And with a blink of an eye, boom, we have a viral third grade class being led by an amazing Black phenomenal female educator.
Oh.
Without further ado, we would like to introduce our very first formal guest, Miss Jasmine Merlette.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. Wow, that was so amazing. You really just boosted my confidence.
I mean, shoot, girls, all of your accomplishments, I'm reading it getting life myself.
Actually, that was like a long resume. I love it. I love it. Love to see it. And then goodness, you only 2 years in the classroom. That's for all those accomplishments. Yeah. I'm like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's wild. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord.
Yes. Girl. Thank him. Thank him.
Go ahead. So how you doing today? How we feeling?
I'm doing really well, actually. You guys are just so amazing. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be on your podcast. I'm really excited to be here.
Girl, we're excited to have you. You have always been in the thoughts of people that we wanted to have be a guest. Literally, like, even in September, November, when we were, like, really planning on what this is going to be and what it's going to look like. You're like, I can show you a Google document with your name on it.
Right, I'm going to say with her name on it that she was one of our first guests. I'm glad we're finally getting this.
We're just glad to have you here. And we've been talking about coronavirus the last three episodes. Mm. So it's going to be nice to have you with your energy and your positivity, like just really share your story and your message, and hopefully, like, just get away from some of the negative energy that coronavirus has.
Yes.
All right, ma'am, you the Old Town Road teacher. Like, for people that don't know, we are gonna plug this in to the episode where you'll be able to hear what the remix is like.
Yes.
But really, the question is, what's the inspiration? Like, what's the story behind you taking your third grade class and remaking Old Town Road? Because that was a hit, okay?
Yeah, so honestly, just even thinking about the fact that y'all addressed me as the Old Town Road teacher is wild. It's really wild, especially because I did not know this song at all. Didn't know it existed until... Yes, my children are the one that were like, Miss Merlette, we have to do this song. And I'm like, what? And my only requirement was, does it have cursing? You can ask my kids to this day. I don't care what it is, but does it have cursing? They're like, no, Mr. Merlette, we promise. And I'm like, okay, bet. Like, that is like their anthem. As you know, a lot of children love that song. Mm-hmm. So in terms of having that song be our song, they chose it. They love it. We did something called the Woe Challenge a while back. And that's when I was first introduced to this song. But in terms of us remaking this song, one of my babies, she was really nervous about her test. And the thing is, like, in my classroom, I do a lot of things to try incorporating boosting confidence, you know, making sure that they feel good, that they feel
very prepared, important,
they feel ready. And it's not just about like, okay, we practiced. Okay, well, you did the homework assignment. Okay, well, you know, we did examples in class. Like, no, like, you feeling like you can actually do it. And when she came to me, it just resonated with me more just because I'm someone who has had panic attacks. At Xavier, I had panic attacks. I know what it's like to be anxious before a test, like, seriously. So, you know, for my children, it's like, wait, hold on. Like, you don't need to feel that. Like, we need to do something about it. So that's how us making our song together came about. And the thing is, like, if there's one thing I want people to know, like, it wasn't like we made this song and then that was it. Like, this was just an extension of all the other things we were doing in our class to boost our confidence and make us feel good and prideful in ourselves.
Preach, like, on that part.
Like, this was not, well, yeah, because it's just like, I think a misconception is like, okay, y'all went viral. That's so cool. Y'all did the song. Like, what was inspiration? And it's like, yeah, if my children, they needed it and they needed to know, like, it wasn't just me rooting for them. Like, your classmates are rooting for you. Like, when it got down to practicing the song, and I'll get to that later, but like, when it got down, their parents and guardians were invested practicing with them, talking to me. Yes, like, it was really like a, I say a family, like, they are my family. It was a family effort. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like a one and done. And those that follow me on Instagram, they know, like, if you see something I'm doing in my classroom, like, it is a glimpse of something that happens every single day. Music is incorporated, dancing is incorporating, affirmations are incorporated. Like, these things are just throughout our whole entire day. So everyone's seeing the video, it's just so wild, but it really is just a glimpse. Like, you, like, and I think in my post, I put in the day, I think I put the day in the life of Miss Millette, or a day in the life of Miss Millette, but that's it.
You did, you did. I just looked at it today.
You know? Yeah, but like, that's the thing. Y'all didn't even really get a day. Y'all got a minute. I think it's less than a minute, honestly, but that's the thing.
Less,
like,
than a minute.
Yeah, like, it's just something that we did.
And what people may not know about you is that you are a very lit person, period. I know we only, like, gone out a couple of times together.
Yeah!
But, like, that is very phenomenal to be able to, or I'll just speak for myself as a lit educator, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay!
But, like, able to transition that energy from, like, you know, a day party to your classroom. And like, it's still appropriate because it's you being you with your energy. Like,
period.
When you was in there, you was screaming on that video. I'm like, this is literally like, this is literally Jasmine. But it's really a testament to, like, the work that you've done as an educator and just, like, as a human being, as somebody who believes in empowering people to have, like, set the foundation of a culture in your classroom that, hey, we always do these things. It's cool now that we've made it into a song and we're being acknowledged. But I think I talked to you about this a little, like, a couple days ago. But my qualm with, like, I call people like you shade room teachers. And there was definitely some shade to that before I could, like, really open my thing and be flexible, because it's like, I be in the trenches every day. I signed up for this when I was in school. Yes. So then to see people on the shade room, like, oh, like, you got, you, like, people know who you are and are supporting you because you made, like, you remixed a song for engagement. Oh, okay. And then there's another piece where it's like, when people do that, when they, like, make a song, post it on the shade room, now all these other non-teachers are like, oh, that's the expectation. All teachers should be doing that.
I get what you're
saying.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
And see, so I would love to talk about that, because I actually was able to speak at a professional development seminar, and that is one of the most common questions that I get is, how do we do that? How do I get that? And I always tell teachers and educators, and if you're in the classroom, I don't care what you're doing, the first component is building a relationship. Like I spoke on before.
Period.
I didn't know that song until what? My children said, Miss Millette, we want to do this song. So,
it's so hard for me to believe still, but
no, people don't believe. And that's why I think people keep asking me, like, well, how can I do that? And I'm just like, it's not about how you can do it, it's how you can tailor it to your classroom. So if your classroom loves corn, and, you know, I love corn, but let's say your classroom loves corn. Yes, but that's what it was just a random thought. But what But what I'm saying is, if your classroom loves corn, you need to figure out how to get corn in that room. How do you're able to talk about it? Let corn be a buzzword. Let it be a brain break. Let them be able to use it in math, science, social studies, reading. I don't care. If that's what they like, they need to see it, because the second that they see it incorporated in the classroom, it's like, oh, wow, like, it's not just about Miss Millette and what she wants to teach. Like, I'm a stakeholder in my own education. Yes, this is your education.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
That,
like,
sorry, can you repeat that again? You're trying to get kids to say, to think what? They are what?
A stakeholder in their own education. It is their education. Like, this is for you. Yes, I teach you, but this is ultimately how you want to be successful. However you plan on doing that, this is for you. So I do think that I'm glad I'm just glad I'm able to talk to y'all about this, because I really would love to put the put all the myths out. Like, this was something that my children loved. And if you're not incorporating things that your children love in your classroom, then you're doing it wrong. And that's the problem. You will never be able to make a video like this, because you don't even know anything about your children. And it's not about making a video. But it's not about making a video. It's about having that relationship and making them feel welcome, loved, supported. They feel like it's not just Miss Merlette's classroom. You can ask them, this is our classroom. This is right. What we learn. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not just about right. What I want. It's really not about me at all.
Lindsay and I talk about that a lot, though, just about, like, this whole idea of meeting your student where they are at. And I think that there's, like, this oftentimes, like, a misnomer, just, like, in education in general, about a teacher feeling as if, and I think that this is what really what Lindsay was getting at, like, the whole, like, you see these teachers that are creating handshakes with their students, you see these teachers that are, like, let's get a hug. But I think that the message behind that is great, but I think that what Lindsay and I feel like I agree, is, like, getting the deeper meaning to why you are doing all of this. Like, mm-hmm. What is this helping? What is this building? And I think that that's the reason why you did this song in the first place. And I feel like that's incredible that you not only, or that your students felt comfortable to come to you, that your students own that space. They own that song mm-hmm. and say, you know, mm-hmm. well, like, this is something that we're trying yes. to overcome. So help us bridge that gap. So that yes. is so dope. Yes. That's so amazing.
Yes. And, like, even in terms of, like, and I'll never forget this, but in terms of even the lyric writing process, I felt like ooh. I was in the room with Future and Drake and Kendrick.
Oh, wait, the kids made all the lyrics?
We worked on it together, but that's what I'm saying. It was like wow. a constant, like, okay, I play the original song. Okay, you hear how the song sounds. Okay, now we play instrumental. What are y'all's thoughts? And I will never forget, we were so loud. And, like, we're loud in my classroom because I'm loud. So, like, you can be loud. I'm not mad about it. You know? So we were on the Promethean board at first, but we were getting so loud. My classroom last year.
We pause real fast. What is the Promethean board for those who don't know?
Oh, yeah. So I actually was introduced to the Promethean board my first year of teaching. So basically it's a smart board. And yeah, I didn't know how to use it or anything. My kids taught me. They're like, oh, it's so loud. You just do this. But, basically, you're able to, like, have, like, a whiteboard, except it's technology, so I don't know. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, Promethean must be, like, the software or something that they use.
They call it. I don't know. I think it's just a smart board, but that's what we call ours. Like, I just remember, like, my classroom is all the way, well, last year, my classroom was on our hallway, the very last classroom on the left, right next to the door to outside, right? So whenever mm-hmm. we get really loud, I'm like, let's just go outside. So I literally got anchor chart paper, put it on the side of our school, and we're literally writing our lyrics that we want. I'm playing it from my phone, right? The part that gets me, and it's my favorite part of the song, but education is that swag. Can't nobody stop me from learning, right? Mm-hmm. We had a debate about whether it should be education is my swag or education is that swag. And I ooh. Literally was listening to my children say, well, it's mine, school is mine, that's my ownership, like, this is what I do, so it's my swag. So it's just like, I'm literally sitting there like, they're really like, when I tell you, these are their words, like, they came from their mouths, they came from their hearts, this is how they feel. And then especially the fact that all my children are students of color. So when you think about education within America, and you think how they've tried to stop us, for them to say, can't nobody stop me from learning, I wish I could have came up with that. I wish that was me. That was not me. But I really think it speaks to their experience as children, being children of color in America. Yep. Oftentimes, they do not want to see us be great. And this is a conversation I have my kids all the time. As nice as I can, you know, without being too, like, scary, but just being real, like, the outside world does not want to see you, but, like,
being real,
people,
right?
You know, and it's like,
history. And the thing is, we have to get rid of the idea that telling our kids about history is scary, though. Like, scary in a way that, because people use that as a method to not tell them anything. Like, I mean, granted, I have fifth and sixth graders, but my fifth graders, I've been teaching them since third grade. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very honest. I'm like, there was a time in history where this was okay to do to Black people. White people were doing this to Black people.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to hate the white teachers in your school. But, like, let's be realistic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
And then I also think that, speaking to that point, the mindset of being audacious is something that is not valued in schools enough. Like, this whole idea that Black students don't get enough opportunity when they're in the classroom because we're constantly told, oh, you're bad, or you're not good at something, or you're a failure. Mm-hmm. And so when you change that narrative, and that's the reason why I'm just like, yes, hearing the fact that you were like, your kids are talking about education is my swag, for them to then take that ownership, like, that's for them to be doing that at such a young age, when that's supposed to be the age that the whether or not they pass that grade, if a school prison cell is supposed to be built for them.
But you see, like, what I'm saying? And then for me to even be a third grade teacher, and then this is about tested anxiety, why do you think they feel anxious? You know, what is causing that? And see, nobody wants to talk about it. They want to just say, oh, well, let's say one of my children has a tantrum when they come in the classroom,
right?
It might be test day. Oh, well, they're just bad. So, you know, send them to the office. Well, it's test day, they're nervous. Also, I feel like I can only speak for my school, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I don't think I will. I don't know. But we
YOLO.
But we hound on testing so much. We stress our kids out. You make sure you're doing this much and have this much growth, and this is what you need. And it's just like, hold on. Girl.
And can I ask you something?
Yes, please.
So so my question is, do you believe, and you can refuse to answer any question, but do you believe that your school is actually data driven in terms of, like, analyzing what they get from the data to, like, implement a new plan, or are they data driven to, like, stay open, or data driven?
That's a very good question. Yeah.
Let's say.
I mean, we can brush right over it, sis. So I ain't got no problem.
I want to pass. But I was.
That's fine.
But
I mean, but I just think that even though speaking to that, like, I feel like it is important to distinguish the difference between the two, because there is value in data.
Data. Right? Oh, yes. I think
that
Lindsay
and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that there are some schools that are out there, and I can speak to this. Mm-hmm. There are some schools that are out there that are trying to push testing, but don't really understand what that looks like. Don't have the right resources to support their students pushing testing. And so I think that there's, like, a bigger discussion that needs to be had around why are you pushing testing? What's the actual value?
And also, who chose this test? Who chose it?
Yeah. We talked about that.
You know, like, I'm just like, and also that's one thing that last year we took Scantron. They changed our test this year. But one thing I really loved about Scantron test was it showed your growth.
I'm really trying not to interrupt you, but
oh no, go ahead.
Y'all had a Scantron?
Yeah, it's called Scantron.
Oh, but it's not an actual Scantron.
Oh no. Yeah, no, it's not called
Scantron. Sis, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, but, so It's called Scantron, and what I loved about it is it focused on the child's growth from the beginning of the school year, how much they grew. And I understand being on grade level is important. I do. I promise I do. But at the same time, And also, you are stressing the children out. And I understand, like, we would have data chats, so my kids would know, like, hey, like, you're this points away from this color or whatever. Like, we would talk about it. But also, I would let them know, like, this is an end-all, be-all. You have grown since the first day you've been in here. So don't think that this determines, like, your success or how successful you'll be in life or how prepared you are for the next grade. Like, you know, you worked hard and we have your back. So let us know what you need. But that's the thing. Like, I do feel like when it came to that test, like, our administration was literally, like, it was only about testing. Everything was about testing. So even the fact now, like, reflecting on that experience, it makes sense that that was the song that came about. Even thinking about the lyrics, like, the environment that they were in, that we were in, because I was stressed. But what you're not going to do is you're not going to stress me out and make me stress my kids out. You're not going to make me do it. I'm just not. Yeah. So, for instance, the way we do testing, like, we go in with deep breaths, we say affirmations, we high-five each other, and yeah, we're going to do that even if there's a proctor standing in there. Just because you have a proctor in here does not mean all of a sudden, all right, everyone sit down, get your laptops out. Mm. Oh, no, 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 no. We ease our way into stuff. And that's one thing that I feel like people think, like, because they're children, they just, okay, they bounce back, they'll be okay. But you understand, like, it actually hits them more, I think. Like, they're more fragile. So it's like, why are we not being delicate about this? Like, why? So,
and I think that is something, because I was thinking, I'm like, that is literally the policing of Black bodies is just so interesting to me. And I think that even testing, like, the reason as to why it has to be like 100% silent, why you only have to be in a very confined space. Like, it's just certain things that I feel like we can do a better job of.
Absolutely.
About thinking about the development process of children and thinking about how they best test. But those are things I don't feel like we invest in. We're just like, oh, okay, like, here's this test, take it.
And exactly.
We don't teach how to take tests.
And say I feel it like again. That was
something that I used
see,
to
people get mad about
while I was teaching.
People get mad about teaching how to take the test. It's not about the test per se. It's about testing strategies. Like, take a deep breath before you read the problem. If you don't know it, skip it and come back. Don't kill yourself over trying to answer that one question and then be frazzled the rest of the test. But no one wants to do that, but then they're mad about what their quote-unquote data says.
The problem behind that is because I personally think that testing strategies are just personal preferences.
Of course.
And the problem is that at the foundation and how we teach, of course, like, I think that there are some steps that are being taken to get there, especially with math, because I'm a math teacher. But I think that the problem is we don't teach kids to have individual preference within our curriculum. So we have to teach you testing strategies, but, like, skipping a question and coming back to it, you get to choose which question you get, which one you're comfortable with.
Yes.
You get to choose if you want to review. Like, me, I love taking tests. But one of my strategies when I was in, like, AP Psych, I started from the end of the test. And then I would go back to the beginning, maybe, like, two problems in, because that mentally helped me. But that's, like, no one's going to teach that strategy, right? That's just a preference. And so we miss all that during the regular school year. So I guess people get mad. But, I mean, it is what it is. It is what's going to help, basically.
But I really think that speaks to the fact of having our children have ownership in their classroom and their experience and how they learn and how they want to learn. Like, not everybody is a auditory learner. Like, Jasmine, Amani, Merlet, me, you can say something to me a million times. I'm a visual learner. I need to see it. So for us to even, like, sometimes teach, like, well, I'm at the board. They didn't get it. I wrote it on the board. I'm like, there are so many other ways to get something across without just sticking. But see, that's a whole nother conversation, because that also gets in, you know, like, how, you know, you know,
I'm just curious, so how do you think that this tool helped your students? I know that we were talking about testing and a lot of stuff, but how do you think the Old Town Road song helped your students?
Well, for starters, my students still sing it to this day. And it's so funny because I mean, of course, I'm like, oh, wow, like, last year was a great year. Like, we did that thing together. That's awesome. But, like, one of my parents from last year actually messaged me and was like, I need you to know that my child from last year, he still sings y'all's song when he gets nervous about tests. And she was like, she was just saying thank you. But it's just like, wow, like, they're still doing that. And I really think the key thing to hound on in the song is, like, we're empowering each other. We're talking to ourselves about how we feel. No one can stop us. Like, we are resilient. We can get through this. Like, it's really confidence boosting, and it doesn't have to be in a song. Like, I really think my kids know now, like, wow, like, it doesn't matter what I say. Like, I can say things to make me feel good. I can say things to make you feel good. You know, like, it doesn't matter the format, whether I write it down, whether I say it, whether I put it in a song, you know, like, I feel good about it. So especially during the test, so I was in there for part of the time they were taking it, but then I found out I wasn't supposed to be there, so then they kicked me out.
Did you teach them the content?
Oh, no. Like, when they were taking the actual Scantron test, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be in there. So I was Wait, sitting there. They told me I couldn't be in there. That's a whole other story. But
But, I mean, I've heard that before. Like, yeah. I cannot administer the math test by myself. I would have to have me and a proctor.
But yeah, I had to have a proctor, but then they made me leave too. So,
oh, okay, that's cute.
But here's the thing, though. I think the Lord had me in there for part of the time because he really wanted me to see, like, they're okay. So, like, I was sitting at the front, and they're taking it, right? And I'm watching their mouths move. At least 9 of them. Last year, I had a class of 23. At least 9 of them. We're literally going through the test and I'm watching their mouths and I'm like, y'all are really doing this while we're taking the test. Oh, wow. Like,
it works.
Okay.
And it's right.
When I had to leave, like, well, they would look at me for like reassurance, you know, like, so, you know, just like, absolutely. And I was just like, thumbs up. I'm smiling. Right. You know, I got all the energy at the front, but of course, calm energy because they're testing. But I'm just like, oh, yeah, you got, you know, mouthing stuff, whatever. So when I left, like one by one, my kids were coming to me. Mr. Lynn, look, I got this many points. I told you I could do it. You know, and they were so excited. And I have never seen them that excited about a test. And now, mind you, they've been hearing about testing literally. And see, that's the other thing. You want to start, quote unquote, testing prep a month before the test, but you're not. And that's the thing. It was like a month before and y'all stressing my children out. So like the fact that they're able to like be resilient and walk off a duck's back, like, nope, I'm not gonna let that mess with me. Literally running to me, Mr. Led, look. And I'm just like, one after one. Every last one of my children last year grew. Every last one. And that is something for me is just like, it makes me kind of emotional because it's just like, wow. Absolutely. Like, you know, every last one of them. Every last one. So that's why, like, even just thinking about, like, what you can do to make your children feel good in the classroom, do it. Whatever they need, please do it. Like, do just it. Do it. So I definitely feel like they feel good about their song. And mm-hmm. it like is their song, you know? So... And I do think that it helped them.
Yeah. So it is their song, right? And I'm sure they were like super excited with you just bringing up the thought that now, hey, we have some autonomy over our class. We're going to make the song. They're arguing over like, is it my swag or that swag?
Seriously, right? Y'all should have been there. I will never forget that moment in my life. I will never.
And then the song goes viral. Can you tell us like the steps that happened after after April 30th, 2019 for all the listeners listening right now? It's almost the year anniversary of the Old Town Road dropping her remix. What happened? Like you dropped it on April 30th, 2019 and then what progressed afterwards?
So I love telling this and it's so funny because people don't believe me. You know, they really, and that's the other thing, the misconception about viral. People really think that stuff is overnight. No, it is not overnight. No, that's not how it works. Like, but also, that was never.
Tell us.
Right.
You don't know.
I do not know.
I'm so dead. But not just that, but like, well, just for the time frame for y'all, people kept finding our video until about July. In about July, it was like, okay, like it slowed down. And literally, I kid you not, 2 weeks ago, someone commented on the original video. And I'm just like,
wow.
This is from a year ago. But that's the thing. Like when something is out in internet world, it almost sometimes it'll go reviral. So like, absolutely. It'll like, it's really weird. But in terms of the process, so my favorite thing, and see, this is a little insider for y'all. And shout out to, my friend, my sister queen, Jalen McKee, she's a publicist. But when I initially posted the video, she texted me and said, you need to make your page public now. And I was like, oh no, like I'm a teacher. My page is private. My parents and guardians follow me on my page. Like, no. Like this was literally, I just wanted y'all to see what we did. But like, I had like 2,000 followers. So I'm like, nah, like we good, right? She was like, you're not listening to me. You need to make your page public. And I'm like, why? So my phone starts blowing up. People commenting on Facebook, you need to make this shareable. I can't share this. I'm like, why are y'all trying to share it? Like, what is going on? Like, what are y'all doing, right? So I kid you not, that was on April 30th. I don't even remember what day of the week it was, but I went back home that weekend. So I'm sitting and someone sends me an article. I'm just like, okay. And it's CNN. And I'm like, stop playing with me.
Right.
No, I'm like, stop.
CNN.
Right.
CNN.
So they wrote an article without any of the information that, like, they didn't get any information from me. They wrote an article basically on the fact, like, this video is taking over the internet. We think it's, and that's the thing, like, their original article, because they ended up coming, you know, coming to me and asking me questions. And then it was like, okay, let's make it lengthy now. Let's get the real facts. But their original thing literally was like, this video is going viral and we love to see it, basically. They didn't know what state I was in. They didn't know what grade I taught. They didn't know anything. They just were like, it was CNN Entertainment, right? So I'm like, I remember, I literally was like, CNN wrote an article about us and I didn't even tell them anything, right? So at this point, you know, my page is public now. When I tell you, my followers are just going up and up and up, and people are commenting and commenting and commenting. So at this point, like, Instagram sends me an email saying, we've changed some of your account preferences considering your high volume of followers.
And
I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, and I'm not even, I'm like, even now, y'all, like, I'm not at 10K. Like, I have a lot of followers.
You used to be, though. I stalked you. You used to be at 10K.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that. So weak. But that's the thing, like Instagram, like, literally periodically was like, hey, we've done this to your account considering your volume. Hey, we've done this to your account. Like, it happened, like, at least 3 times. Because it went from, like, 2,000 to 4,000 to 8,000. Like, the jumps were happening over days. And that's the thing. It's hard to keep up. I wish I could reply to every last person that commented, but the one thing I did focus on was making sure that all the educators who reposted, I sent them a message. If you messaged me personally, I sent you a message back. If you were interested in education now, I sent you a message. Those that work in classrooms or those that have students in classrooms, like parents, like, I make sure if there's anybody who I'm gonna talk to right now, like, let me, the people who are in educators were at the top of my list, because so many educators showed our class so much love. And it's just like, wow.
That's what we need, though.
That's what we need. Yes. And it's just like, and we're not even at the point when classrooms started making up their own remix, which is.
Speak on that, because I remember seeing there was a, I don't know which country in Africa.
It was South Africa.
Okay, I'm going to assume that, but I had been there, so I'm like, you might be projecting. Like, you might be projecting.
That's so weird.
So, like, what other places do you remember remaking your song, and then how did that feel? How did your kids respond?
Well, so obviously, first and foremost, let me go ahead and say, every time a classroom showed love, I would have a talk with my children about what it means to be an inspiration, what it means to be a light.
That is so important.
No. Wow. And like, they're like, okay, so you're thinking third grade, 8, 9. And I'm just like, do y'all understand? Because at first, I'm not going to kid you, my kids are like, Miss Burlett, they copied us. I said, what? I said, do you understand that you inspired them? Do you understand that you were a light and they now have their own song catered to their classroom? I had 7th graders pre-K. There was a classroom in Australia, South Africa. That classroom recently just did it. That was in October of 2019, though, mind you. This happened in around April, May. So it's like, people were inspired. They were making it. I saw a med school prep. Their kids did one, catered to med school. The moral of the story is, they were able to see what we did and be able to create something of their own. And my kids were like, oh. And it's like, it's so easy to be like, oh, they copied. Oh, they hating. They were inspiring. And like, after we had that conversation, every time I showed them something, they would get so excited, like, oh my gosh, like, look at that class. I'm like, yes,
oh,
like,
they love
y'all see what y'all did? Like, look what y'all did. So I know one of my favorite reactions that I ever got was one of my children, when I showed them that Lil Nas X retweeted it, and then later,
how'd they feel?
Girl. So let me, it's a lot of tears, a lot of screaming, and then one of my children was like, Miss Merlette. No, like, they were crying. You have to understand, they look up to this man. They love this man. They love this song. So it's like, he said he's cheesing hard as hell. And of course, I bleeped out the word or whatever. But, you know, I was like, y'all made him smile. And they're just like, they didn't realize it at first. One of my students, he starts running around my classroom like, do y'all see who that is? And everyone's just looking at it like, wait. And like, it was like a registering process. Like in their head, they're like, okay, that's our video. Okay, there's the blue check. Okay, that says Lil Nas X. Okay, he's caught. Oh, he reposted it. Oh. Wait, so he likes our video? And I'm like,
not blue check, sorry.
But you know, like, watching them process that, so like, they cried, they screamed, they were smiling, they were laughing. And then one of my students, like, I'll never forget this verbatim, this is what he said. He said, Miss Merlette, he saw us. And I'm just like, drops mic. That's it.
Wow.
He saw us. And I'm like, that's it. That's all. If I had to explain anything else, if I have to talk about why we made this video, what it's for, like, he saw us. So what does that mean? Like, when you unpack that, he saw us. Okay. He saw not only our classroom, he saw how we learned, he saw how we were inspired by him. He saw us take our time to really craft this, because it wasn't just something that we threw together. Like, you know, like, he's acknowledging what we created, you know, what we curated. So it's just like, wow. Like, I still can't believe it, bro. Like, every time I try to wrap my head, I just can't.
And I think, you know, I think that it's also important to, like, talk about the whole process of you getting to where you are now. And more importantly, like, your kids seeing their success, right? Because I think that that's something that doesn't necessarily always happen in school, is, like, some kids aren't going to be that overachieving student that always gets that A on that test.
Yeah.
But for them, for y'all as a class, as a unit, to have put something together that went viral, and them to be in third grade and see all of that, right? Like, they got this, they have something that they're proud of. They have something that they can say, oh yeah, like, I did this. And like, that transcends so much bigger. They got something to write a college essay
about. Yeah, like, exactly! You know, I co-sign everything. I didn't mean to cut you off. I co-sign everything. But it got me excited.
You're good. You're good. Yeah. But I think that that is something that is often undervalued. And I even me thinking back to, like, my grade school experience, like, you get to that college application process and you're like, huh, like, what is something that I have to be proud of? And even though that's something that happened in third grade, they can literally tie that to the school to prison pipeline. And the reason as to why they valued this, and they valued something that they accomplished so much more than not really being in love and being a stakeholder with their education. So that, like, you are literally a true servant.
And that's
amazing. Like,
you're building them.
People don't value that.
People don't understand it, I think. But yes, like, I just want to retweet everything you just said. Oh, if I could retweet it, I would retweet it so fast. Oh my God.
I love it.
But, like, that's also why, like, I know that you feel honored and all to be on the podcast, but, like, we feel very honored to have people like you within our reach. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the purpose of the Reformist Pipeline is to empower people to be advocates.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we want to empower people that aren't teachers, because we like to believe that teachers are already advocates. But you are a connection between the muggles who are non-educators
who know nothing. And the teachers
who know nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, that's why we're honored to have you, because your video, you know, I haven't had conversations with people about how your video inspires them, but I'm absolutely certain that it inspired non-educators to either just be more aware, even if they're not doing something, inspire them to be more aware. Yeah. They felt like they are more connected to education or more connected to your class. And so we just appreciate, even though, of course, it wasn't on behalf of us, but we are working on the behalf of students.
Yes.
And
yes.
we are trying to produce advocates. Yes. And you just are so in alignment with our mission, because the work that you've done and, you know, the path that has been chosen for you has led you to create other people to be advocates yes. for our students.
Yes, period. Can I retweet that as well?
Look, Twitter is going to block you.
I know. Too many retweets.
Like, go to Twitter jail. Just kidding. No. That, yeah, we love to see it.
We do love to see it. We didn't get to One Piece, though, because I just want everybody to know that the Old Town Road, you know, was featured on Ellen, and they, I just want to hear your thoughts, yes, your experience.
Girl.
Our advocates know.
Y'all, literally, when I tell you, every day, I ask the Lord why. Every day, I'm like, why, Lord? Why? I still have no words. I can't really wrap my head around it. I really can't. But I know that I just can't believe it happened. Like, I really, like, I'm telling y'all, if I tried, I can't even watch the video. Like, of course, I remember it in my head. I can walk through it, like, what happened. But, like, watching it, I'm literally looking at the screen, like, am I really sitting there?
Like, is that me?
Is that me?
Like, yeah.
But I do think that the whole Ellen experience really just, for me, it really reminds me that you have no idea who is watching you at all times. You have no idea. And even when I had the opportunity to meet, like, Ellen's boss, like, the producer, right? And she was like, I want you to meet the producer. And he was like, I want you to know, like, we don't do this. Like, this is not a thing that we do. And I'm like, I'm just standing there, like, I'm in the room with all these people, and they, like, clap for me. And I'm just like, is this really happening? And he was like, they saw it on Shade Room, right? So I'm right. like, my Shade Room? Like, you mean, like, where I get to, like, find the tea on where Beyonce's hiding? Like, y'all look at that? Like, what?
Right.
And it's like, it really just solidified, like, you have no idea who is watching and what that might do for you, you know? So for what it did for us, like, it opened up our world. Like, my kids were able to connect with other classrooms. Like, I was able to what's it called? I'm blanking. I was a keynote for a school's
assembly graduation
over the summer. What's it called? See, I'm blanking now, y'all cut all this out. But, summer orientation,
like the summer PD?
Yes, like summer PD, okay. Right? And I'm just and they're like, yeah, we saw you on Ellen and we just knew that you'd be able to inspire our teachers. And I'm just like,
wow.
Like, you saw us on Ellen. Oh, like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, and you just don't realize, like, what that might do and, like, what small deed. Because for me, I'm like, well, this is for me and my babies. Like,
right.
This had nothing to think about the family and stuff y'all. Like, that. Like, this had nothing right. to do with y'all. So even, like,
right.
in terms of, okay, like, you want me to make my page public? Okay. But, like, it wasn't even about y'all. It was about them. So, like, just the fact that, for me personally, it has opened up so many doors. For my children, I know it's going to open up doors. Like, I know it is.
Absolutely.
Because they are forever changed. And this is something that they're proud of, that they were a part of. I know for other people who were inspired by this. I know so many people who have now considered education. Because also...
Really?
Yes! So many people, girl, they blow up my inbox. I've recently changed my major to education after. And I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
You made that whole life decision off this less than 1 minute video. Like, people really were touched by it. And it's like, you don't know what that might do for somebody. That might have encouraged
Absolutely.
Someone. That might have made them smile. That might have made them, you know what? You know, practice is getting hard, but I'm going to try again. Because I got that message too. About I was about to give up. And now I'm trying again. So it's just like, wow. Like,
beautiful.
It's a classroom, but there are so many avenues that it's connected to. you know?
Yeah, and I think that it's also important to even talking about that part about giving up. Just because we all know, especially speaking to like what all of what's happening in our world right now, I think it's important to realize the and value our educators because the amount of strife, the amount of things that educators are experiencing right now is like unprecedented. But to be able to be to see a video like this, like this is why this needs to go. This needs to be rebroadcasted so that everybody can see the joy, like see like the value in someone investing in their kids and like the true potential of where these kids can go if they have that investment. And I think that is like educators do a lot. They do a lot, and there are, many are tired of dealing with all. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so it literally takes these types of moments to for someone to say like, oh, you know what, like this is why I do what I do. And not to quit and not to give up and give that class another year. Give find a way to reinvest and to feel connected to their kids again.
It's important.
It is.
Ooh, Jasmine, you done took us a bunch of places. We speaking from different parts. I'm speaking from my head, my soul, my heart.
Okay? Girl, you and me both. Y'all really, this is amazing. Y'all are amazing.
We don't have to do this again.
Right? Oh, yeah. We have to do this again. Okay.
Part two, right?
Seriously,
because I think there's a bunch of different topics that we can talk about. And I think that there's actually, like, in planning and scripting this, right, we have so many questions for you, but we're like, okay, we got to find a central focus. Right. Well, we appreciate your time, boo, like, genuinely and absolutely. Are there any lasting words that you have for people?
Yes. If anything, never give up and always trust your heart. And it's okay to be your authentic self, because that's what will shine through every single time. And especially if you're working with
Was that for kids?
But that's
jeez, I felt that in my heart.
That's all I gotta say. Like, that's it.
Well, thank you, Jazz. Thank you, Miss Merlin.
Of course. Thank y'all so much for having me. Literally, I'm sad that it's over now.
I know, but people can still keep in contact with you. Can you drop your social media handle so that people know where to
get
in touch?
I feel so cool. Yes, at Future Dr. Jazz. Literally, Future Dr. Jazz. That's me. Yeah.
Spell that out, because some people spell jazz different.
Oh, these are facts. So FutureDrJazz. Future Dr. Jazz.
Future Dr. Jazz.
And that can they can find you on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh yes, that's the same for everything. Yes.
Love it. Okay, Future Dr. Jazz, it has been a pleasure. I love you and thank you for being our guest.
Yes, I love y'all. Thank y'all I really feel so good. I'm just kind of sad now because I can't go in the classroom. Like, I have all this energy. I'm ready to just go back now.
I know. Love you, sis.
Yes. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Cut the noise. If you're not tuning in to Kicking It with Key, then you are surely missing out. Key is a YouTuber, self-care enthusiast, an educator, a queen of unboxing, and a lupus survivor. And Key is also one of my really good friends. Kicking It with Key focuses on sharing personal journeys to light the pathway for others through tips and hacks for everyday struggles. If you're interested in cutting the noise and living your very best life, Tune in every other Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can find Key on YouTube at Kian Cole. Let me spell it out for you. K-I-A-N-A-C-O-L-E. You can also find Kicking It With Key on Instagram at Kicking It With Key _. I'm going to spell that out for you too. K-I-C-K-I-N-I-T-W-I-T-H-K-I_. Join Key so you can also live your very best life.
This week's call to action, in addition to you subscribing, writing us a review, and passing along the word of the Reformist Pipeline, is to tap into your inner child and do something fun to promote some joy and positivity in your life. Of course, make sure that these things are still abiding by the CDC guidelines. But just a few weeks ago, Liz and I had this amazing opportunity to be in Linda's kitchen, and we were chefing it up, and we did a pizza cook-off.
Pizza cook-off!
Sonia was saying, shout out to Sonia. And you know, Lindsay won, by way of her Instagram followers, but
okay,
shout out to her Instagram followers that hit me up and definitely was like, Jahad, you were the real winner. Y'all are the real MVPs. It's okay. I don't mind the fact that
the moral of the story is not that he won the pizza cook-off, whatever. The moral of the story is to tap into your inner child. So like we would suggest a pizza cook-off, maybe
yes,
any type of cook-off. You could do that with your Rona buddy, if you have a Rona buddy, or virtually really. Because I've been seeing people doing it virtually.
And what'd you do like last weekend?
Last weekend, me and my roommates, because we are Rona buddies, we went out for some fresh air. We went to the National Mall and we actually flew some kites. Now, I haven't flown a kite since like elementary school. I know my mom took us and we bought flights and we flew kites once. And so it was so nice to like just be there. Sometimes it's just nice to be with adults and do like things that are childlike. So it was really fun to fly the kites and run around and be barefoot in the grass. And like, it was very restorative and fulfilling. And we were like set for the rest of the week.
And then also like, on the National Mall, like that's incredible that that's where you were able to do this, but just have to speak to that. And with that, we've done a lot of talking this week. So we thank y'all for tuning in and please continue to stay safe and stay sane.
Peace, love, and light, people. Hootie hoo.
Yes.